Hello, everyone. Hello, Podcast Town, Podcast USA. I prepared a lot for my last podcast. I did 48 minutes on couches. I'm very proud of that. I'm proud of it now. I'm not proud. I wasn't proud of it the first time I listened to it, but I was proud of it the second time I listened to it. It's pretty weird, Patrick. Like, I got to make sure I'm in a good headspace when I listen to a podcast. If I'm feeling insecure and, like, you know, life is, you know, a meaningless train wreck of accidental existence, I don't generally like my podcast. I mean, and I feel that way like 19% of the time. And so I have to be careful when I listen to it. It's better for me to listen to it like 2 hours after a nap or something like that. Just like when I'm fresh, and then I kind of like them, you know? I mean, if I didn't like them, I wouldn't do it. I was talking about it with a friend where I'm like, it's so funny because I do these things and then I forget what I say, and then I listen to a joke I forgot I made, and then I laugh at my own joke. It's kind of fun, you know? I like that. So, but I'm like excited that the epic saga of the Dave Good Show is continuing. I'm not quite ready to dive into book two yet. I feel like that's more of a summertime jam. And so in terms of what's going on with the podcast, there's some momentum building. I've gotten some cool compliments from people I don't know, which is, I mean, I like them from people I do know too. And I've got some people who are open to helping. I'm trying to bring more people into the fold. If you are listening and you want to help with the Dave Good Show, I mean, the only requirements is that you understand it's called the Dave Good Show and that I ultimately make the final decision. I mean, Patrick and I do this podcast together. It's 50-50. We never have any disputes, but if we had a dispute, eventually it would come down to it's my show, but like that, you know, doesn't happen. And the thing is, I just talk and then Patrick gives it to me, and I've like almost never made a change in the podcast. I'm trying to think. I think there was one thing I was like, take that out. I said someone's name or something and didn't mean to, but so yeah. And I mean, I don't get them out as fast as I would like, but I never get it done as fast as I would like. And I just think it's more important that they're good. And I think that, you know, people are getting used to the fact that there's going to be another one. And it might be in 2 weeks and it might be in 4 weeks, but they're coming. And that's the thing is, when I was talking to a friend of mine who is interested in helping, he brought up, you know, why don't you do like some movie reviews, you know, TV show reviews kind of thing. And the reason that I can't do those is Patrick and I can't turn this around fast enough because we have full-time jobs and lives, you know, like we do it as much as we can do it. And, you know, we're doing this in a sustainable fashion, but like if, you know, if people who want more Dave Good Show, you know, I need help. You know, if you don't have time, I need money. You know, if you don't have money, I need time. Otherwise I don't need anything, but then they're only going to come out as fast as they're going to come out. And that's okay. I mean, it's totally okay, but that's why I feel like, why am I not commenting on specific things? And that's why. And so, the going's a little slow right now because I'm entering the busy season at work right now. And so, when I get to the summer, I feel like that's a good time for book two because I'll have just more energy because like my day to day won't be as intense. And, you know, I work in the service industry. And if you're wondering what it's like being in the busy industry of the service industry, being in the busy season of the service industry, or like when it's coming, when you know it's coming, and like how crazy it is to like see see the opposing forces amassing on the hill, getting ready to storm your castle. Like, just imagine if the first, those two new episodes of Game of Thrones were good. And that's what it's like. It's if Game of Thrones season 8 was good, is like what it's like to prepare for an intense service industry season. And so Patrick doesn't get that joke because he doesn't watch Game of Thrones. Isn't that adorable, America? But Patrick, for those people who do watch Game of Thrones, I'm very much of a heretic in Game of Thrones town, because I don't think the first two episodes were good, and I feel like people are prevented from saying they're not good when they're clearly not good, you know? Like, everyone's so attached to the characters and so invested in what is going to happen to the characters that, in my opinion, they're failing to recognize that the show just isn't good. I mean, it's like, you can be invested and be like, you know, what's a universal character? You can be like, oh man, I really hope Indiana Jones, you know, makes it out of the labyrinth. But like, some Indiana Jones movies are good and some Indiana Jones movies suck. I mean, I didn't see The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull because people compared it to a direct violation of their childhood. I don't want to say the term because I don't like to make rape jokes, but like, people don't, you know, really, you know, it's like, you know, it's like how Star Wars movies are bad. Most of them are bad, but like, everyone's so invested in Star Wars that they can't allow it to be bad because their life is dependent upon Star Wars being good, and Star Wars must be good. And, you know, I'm not mad at people who need Star Wars to be good. And there's a lot of people who need Star Wars to be good, you know. But I think that if you called it something else, you know, the majority of them, I mean, I think really only Empire Strikes Back is good. I mean, I think that's pretty much the correct critical assessment. And like I talked about Game of Thrones Oreos in the last podcast, when I was working at a hotel, I was stocking the continental breakfast. They had Star Wars bananas. That stickers of like R2-D2 on a banana. And like, how stupid do you have to be like, I love R2-D2, so I'm going to eat this dull banana. Like, it's nuts. Clearly there's no bananas, okay? Every planet has a different ecosystem. There are no, if there was another banana on another planet, that would be a coincidence of insanely cosmic proportions that some other planet had created an identical fruit to another planet. I mean, come on, science people, that's just not gonna happen, you know. So anyways, this is why it's like, I can review Star Wars, you know, because like, that's not, I don't need a fast turnaround, you know. And there's already another Star Wars movie coming out and it's gonna suck, you know. I didn't see Rogue One. I like the director of Rogue One. I mean, Rian Johnson, you know, Patrick, who did like Brick and The Brothers Bloom, which I love, Patrick doesn't love, and Looper, which I think is one of the best movies about the plight of the plight of masculinity. One of the best movies about masculinity that's ever been made. And so, anyways, you know, I mean, I do know that Rogue One, did you see Rogue One, Patrick?
Yes.
Right. They explain why you could fly your TIE fighter into the Death Star in the first place. Like, it closed a loop on a stupid plot line, you know? But I mean, that's the thing, is people just get really invested in these shows and then they ignore what's bad because they identify with it so much. Then it's like, if that movie is bad, then they are bad, you know, where there's no connection. Or they're talking about it like people talking about the run up to Game of Thrones. And I mean, I love seasons 1 through 6 of Game of Thrones and the first couple of episodes of season 7. But, you know, and so I hope that season 8 turns around and there are some good episodes in this, in it. I mean, I have serious doubts, you know, but it's not related to me and doesn't relate to how much I love seasons 1 through 6 of Game of Thrones, you know? And so, so yeah, they're not connected, but then, you know, there's some, but my favorite shows are good all the way through. I've been watching a lot of Mad Men lately, one of my all-time favorite shows, and Mad Men is good the whole time, and the end of Mad Men is incredible. Have you seen Mad Men, Patrick?
Whole thing.
That last episode, ending with the fucking Coke commercial, is just incredible. I was just watching the episode where Roger Sterling takes LSD before I came here, and that's another thing. I can't believe I'm talking about this so much. I didn't mean to, but I was talking to someone else about Game of Thrones, and I hold the people, Patrick, who can tell the first two episodes suck in very high esteem, you know. And we've like formed our own group and enjoy like making fun of it and stuff. And someone was like, I said to someone I hadn't properly vetted, and I was like, hey, I think the first two episodes of this season suck. And she's like, oh no, they don't suck. And I'm like, but I'm watching them because I'm so invested. I mean, I just need to know how it ends. I mean, I'm still a human being. And she's like, I'm so sad that it's going to end, you know? And I was like, but you can go back and watch it again, you know, and watching things again. I mean, I've seen Mad Men straight up with no naps, no bathroom breaks, no skipping. I've seen it 5 times. And I'm watching it for the sixth time because I like to nap to a TV show. It stops me from napping as long and gives me more time to work on the podcast. It's a life hack for you. But there's still all kinds of things I forget. So much effort has been put into it, you know. I mean, I don't know how many hours go into one episode. I mean, how many human hours go into one episode of Game of Thrones? I don't know, 20,000? And everyone's like, oh, saw it one time, I'm good, you know? There's a lot there. So I'm not sad that it's ending, you know? Everything ends. Spoiler alert, everything ends. It's gonna end. Things end. So anyway, so I can't do reviews of like a specific show. I mean, I guess I'm kind of doing one now. Maybe I'm kind of mapping out how I can review things that are old and like resonate in the culture a lot. But I've also been thinking about, like, you know, since I have no children, I think a lot about passing my knowledge on to the next generation and making my mark. I mean, this podcast is the beginning of my life's work. I find it, Patrick, it's kind of hard to explain how, like, the podcast, the live show, and the music festival all tie together, where, to me, it's also perfectly the same thing in my brain. But, you know, people don't have to understand. I mean, that's the kind of thing when you're working on a project. Not everyone's going to see the vision as clearly as I see it. I just hope that they buy into it enough to, you know, see where it's going to go. I mean, not everyone's working on it all the time, but I do think often about like how-to things, or like kind of like explaining specifically how to do things. And like, I've thought about doing more about how to move places, you know. But I have met a lot of celebrities, and I thought I'd like to do a little story / how-to about how to meet a celebrity, right? And I'm just going to tell this story, and then maybe we'll do a wrap up at the end of it, because I hear that often, that I need a wrap up at the end of my story. So, I mean, I don't have a real eye for celebrities when I'm out and about, you know. Nearly all of them that I've met have been through work, but, you know, like when I was living in LA, people would talk all the time about who they saw at this coffee shop or this Starbucks, or those are the same thing. But, I'm just not generally looking for them. One time there was like a comedic actor in line in front of me at an actual Starbucks who was being incredibly rude to the person at the counter, and I shamed him with my eyes. You know, I shamed the shit out of him. And I mean, he knew what was happening. But anyways, this is not my story. So it was the weekend of the Rose Bowl in Southern California, Pasadena. And one of the teams playing was the Iowa Hawkeyes. And even though I am a fan of the other team, the Iowa State Cyclones, a lot of friends coming to LA to go to the big game, you know. And then, of course, it's the Rose Bowl. Before the day before the game, there is, or maybe it's the day of the game, there's a parade, the Rose Parade, right? A very famous parade. And so I have volunteered to kind of host my friends who are coming to town, to partially host them because there's other locals. We got a window open. Patrick wants some ambient sound. I think it's a good idea. Oh God, it's nice to have a window open to begin with. And so, okay, see you later, kiddos. It's good they got their helmets on. They're 6 inches off the ground. Life with a helmet. In the future, we'll wear helmets till we're 25. So, anyways, the deal is that my friends from out of town are staying downtown in a hotel. I'm going to go meet them at like ass crack of dawn, 4 a.m., to then help them get an Uber or Lyft, whatever, to take to the parade, where then we'll go to the parade. And because all of us in the Midwest have these like secret connections, like there's a lot of people who from the Midwest who do well in Southern California because of our work ethics. One of us has a connection to someone who lives on the parade route. So we're going to go and get these like incredible seats right up front to watch the Rose Parade. So at crack of dawn, 4 a.m., I take a Lyft to downtown LA to meet my friends at their hotel, and I get to the hotel and I send him a text to say that I'm down in the lobby, and I then take a seat in one of the lobby chairs to wait for them to come downstairs. And that's when it happens, right? I feel this presence and I look up and there he is, right? I mean, I try to explain this. Like, for me, this would be like if you grew up and your favorite thing as a kid was Batman. For me, this would be like seeing Batman, you know? It'd be like seeing Barbie in the flesh. I look up and there he is. It is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, right? Kareem. And he sits down in the chair next to me, right? The thing is, I love Kareem so much. If by some chance you don't know who Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is, which is nearly impossible, he's perhaps the greatest basketball player who's ever lived. He scored the most points of any basketball player who ever lived. He's a Muslim. He changed his name. Caused quite a bit of controversy. Close personal friend of Bruce Lee while Bruce Lee was alive. Early adopter of yoga. Possessor of one of the greatest jazz record collections of all time, which was tragically destroyed in a fire. And also someone who, like, if you picked someone who, a personality, I mean, equipped to be in his body because an extremely competitive and intelligent personality, but a very introverted man, someone who, being born black and being born 7'1" tall, was very difficult for him. You know, he did not like all the strange attention that he got in this body. It was very uncomfortable for him. He's a very well-read man, you know. His father's a police officer. You know, a very proper police officer. His father was from, I don't know what country, but somewhere which is very buttoned down and, you know, Victorian. All this is rushing through my mind as Kareem sits down next to me. I mean, the knees, right? But I know this. And even though this man is my childhood hero, he was an airplane, for crying out loud, you know? And everything I loved as a child. I mean, like I said, a real live superhero sitting next to me. I know this about him. I know that Kareem does not like attention from strange people. And so I say nothing. And Kareem says nothing. The only reason he's there is because it's 4 a.m. And I sit with Kareem in silence. And I think about yoga and I breathe, you know, and I just sit there like feeling the presence of this man, feeling so lucky to be sitting next to him, you know, and I don't know how long I sat there for. It was a considerable amount of time because I was at the wrong hotel. And I get a text from my friend. We're at the hotel across the street. And I get up, I say nothing, and I walk away from Kareem, and I go to meet my friends at the hotel. And we get into, it's funny, I explain to them, I explain ride sharing to them, you know, and I'm like, oh, it's cool. Like, one of them has a rideshare app in their phone and they're going to call the car because I already paid for a car to get there. So they're going to pay for the car. And I'm like, it's great. They're like, really, this is safe to have a stranger come and pick you up? I'm like, yeah, it's totally safe. Anyways, the guy who comes and picks us up had clearly not slept for like 36 hours. I mean, rideshare drivers can do that. Like, you're only allowed 12 hours on one app. But you can just switch to the other app. So you do 12 for Lyft, 12 for Uber, 12 for Lyft, 12 for Uber. Never going to sleep. So we get an insane ride to Pasadena. The guy almost falling asleep, weaving in and out of traffic. Everyone's super terrified. We get there. I'm wearing a tie, which is something that I did in LA and I'm doing again. You know, I'm not in a tie right now because Patrick and I are close friends. But the tie does a lot for you. And we actually needed the tie. Because we had some convincing to do to convince the security people that we were allowed to get so close to the parade route, you know, that our friends had seats for us on the parade route, that our friend, it was my friend's girlfriend who lived there, you know, had to convince our way. Eventually he came and had some kind of pass that got us to the parade route. And we're there, we're hanging out and drinking Bloody Marys and living the Midwestern secret high life of Southern California that we do. And it's a good time. And the parade starts. And I mean, I've never had such great seats to a parade. And it's the freaking Rose Parade. I mean, I've only watched it on TV. I mean, like, it's wild being there, you know? And here comes the leader of the parade, the Grand Marshal of the parade, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And I see Kareem, right, master of the skyhook, and I just like jump up and down like, Kareem, Kareem, you're the best, greatest basketball player you ever lived. And he like looks at me and he points and he smiles and he goes by. God, that was fucking incredible. And the point of this, when it comes to meeting celebrities, is you just do what is appropriate in the moment for the situation, you know? Like, it's not really appropriate at 4 a.m. to start talking to the person next to you in the hotel. I mean, you could maybe, you know? But I knew that Kareem was someone who did not like to be talked to. And you don't think, oh, I must say something. Just say what you would say to anyone, you know? Think if you knew someone who was sitting next to you was an introvert and was not comfortable talking to strangers, you don't talk to them just because they're Kareem fucking Abdul fucking Jabbar. Just treat them like a normal human. And that's what you do, you know? You just treat them as you would like to be treated. And understand that who Kareem is someone with a very interesting job. That's what Kareem is. He has a very interesting job. A very well-paid job, you know, but not different than anyone else with an interesting and well-paid job. And I was telling this to another friend of mine, and you know, I've met other celebrities who were not introverted and did want to talk. And, you know, that's another thing is if I did talk to Cream, don't talk to them about basketball. Don't talk to guitar players about the guitar. I mean, you generally don't want to talk about your job. That's generally not the first thing we talk about. Just talk about normal things with celebrities. And I said this to a friend of mine and was like, but yeah, but like if I don't talk to Wynton Marsalis about jazz, you know, what do I have to offer Wynton Marsalis? Well, you are enough. What is like inside of you, you the human being, you are enough. And if they don't want to meet you, well, fuck them, fucking dickheads. How can you not want to meet another person if you're in a situation to meet, you know? Your soul is just as beautiful as their soul. Just because, you know, just because they have an interesting job performing in front of people does not make them better than you, you know? But I mean, it is magical. I mean, I don't know what to say. There is that magic there. I mean, I hope that my soul is as beautiful as Kareem's soul, but I mean, it was just so amazing to be in the presence of Kareem and sit there silently with him, you know, and then get the reward of seeing him in a context where I could jump and scream, you know, like the, in a parade, you can yell and scream and say how awesome someone is, you know? So I'm just saying that if you meet a celebrity, just be yourself, you know? And if they're assholes, then they're just an asshole. Many, many people are, you know? Many a plumber is an asshole. Many a guitar player is an asshole, you know? There's a lot of assholes out there. And it's no... You know, granted, easier said than done, but like the more you do it, the more in practice you get it. And really, you know, when I'm doing hospitality for a celebrity, worrying too much about who they are and who they know affects my job. I mean, it used to be when I picked up a musician, I would like make sure I was familiar with their catalog. And then one day I realized like that's got nothing to do with me driving them to the hotel and getting them a quinoa salad, you know, like my job is to get them a quinoa salad and get them to the hotel. And then you just kind of are open to what might happen. And then you can make celebrity friends because you're meeting them on their level. And you can only make friends with someone as an equal, you know. So if you want to be friends, you know, if you want, you know, the magic of being friends with a celebrity, which is something I have in my life. And I do like, you know, well, I mean, just I'm an artist, so it's good for me to know successful artists, know that that's real, be able to talk to them about what they've done and how they did it. I mean, that's important to me for different reasons. And that's why we're friends, because we're similar people. I mean, this famous guitar player just recently was like, Dave, in the arts, you're either making no money or some money. There's no in between. It's not like other jobs where, you know, oh, then you're making 30K, then you're making 50K, then you're making 80K, then you're making 120K. No, when you're an artist, it's like, there's only $0 and $100,000. There's no levels in between that, you know? So just if you are lucky enough to meet a hero, just be yourself, you know. If they don't want to talk, don't talk. If they do want to talk, talk. But there was a story that I told Patrick earlier that I was leaving work and telling people that I was going to do a podcast. And this guy was like, what's your podcast about? And I was like, I make jokes. He's like, oh, you're a funny man. Can you be funny? And I said, yeah. Go fuck yourself. And then he laughed, you know. So I'm just saying be yourself. I mean, you want to be yourself and you want to be a good person. You want to, I mean, I guess that there is something that I do before I do celebrity hospitality. And I try to be up on my reading. I try to watch some interesting films. I love reading and watching interesting things. But if you want to be interesting, that's how you become interesting. And there is value in being interesting. I obviously like being interesting. You know, what can I say? It's important to me, you know? And I'm so happy that I got to sit there with Kareem, you know? My hero. He did not disappoint me. They say you meet your heroes and you're disappointed. I was not disappointed by Kareem. Dude, did Kareem know that I knew he was Kareem? And I mean, I hope he knew I knew he was Kareem. And I hope he knew that I was offering him this ultimate respect of respecting his space.
Did he have any kind of handler or any kind of management?
No, that's what was incredible, is that he just walked down by himself. Maybe somebody was watching nearby, but it was so early in the morning. I mean, it was 4.
It was that early?
Yeah, it was 4 because when's the Rose Parade start? 7? So, you know, you had to get there early, I think, to do all the stuff. So it was very early in the morning.
Did anybody else recognize him? The staff or the...
There was no one in the lobby. There was staff. And I'm sure they recognize him, but this is staff working at a downtown luxury hotel, so they're
used to
seeing celebrities all the time. No, I mean, I don't know. I feel like he knew. I mean, I've been thinking a lot about that, like people's ability to silently perceive things. Like, have you ever been like talking about someone and then had them walk into the room?
You're talking about just a friend?
Yeah, just a friend, just anyone. You're like you're talking about someone and then they walk into the room. I mean, that happens to me sometimes. Or I walk into a room and I feel like people have been talking about me, but no one does anything, right? Mm-hmm. But there's just like some sense that you get. Mm-hmm. You know?
Was there eye contact?
I mean, I saw him, but I intentionally did not make eye contact. You know?
You must have gotten agitated. Did you get agitated?
I mean, I felt so blessed. I felt truly blessed. I felt truly blessed to be in the presence of my childhood hero. I mean, that's such a gift. And I've already been through the rigmarole. Like, I'd already checked Steve Martin's passes for a VIP art event. So I like knew that I'd already flinched when I saw Steve Martin. So I was able to suppress the flinch when I saw Kareem. You know, I looked up. I think I probably looked down quickly, you know, which is like a monkey sign of respect, you know, to like not to avert your eyes from the king, you know. But like I said, that all his whole history. I mean, I had seen the Kareem documentary on HBO already. I watched it again yesterday. That's what reminded me of his story. And so, but then when he was sitting there, then I his connection with Bruce Lee is so important to me. And Bruce Lee is an incredibly important person in my life. And so I was thinking all these deeply spiritual things, you know, be like water, breathe, you know. And so I just breathed. I just tried to like meditate next to Kareem. And I assumed that he was in a similar state. You know, I'm just so impressed that he did yoga. You know, that this ultra athlete was doing yoga, and that, you know, this is before you could do yoga and be okay. I mean, even still, a man who does yoga is considered to be like a date rapey fuckwad, you know. But
did his whole Muslim conversion happen before Ali's?
It happened soon after. After Ali's. His was less angry, and then he followed a different... There was a split in the black Muslims. And he followed a different sect than Ali followed. Ali followed Elijah Muhammad. He followed a different guy whose name I can't remember. I know that his sect, I don't like that word sect, his branch, his denomination was called Hamas. But I don't know what the root of the meaning of the word Hamas is, but I mean, and then he was kind of the primary financial supporter of that. And then over time, his viewpoint changed where he's still very much a Muslim, but like this group was very much, you know, keep women in their place, men are in charge, you know, there were a lot of, he didn't invite his family to his wedding because they weren't Muslim. There was a lot of, he remained a Muslim, but he softened his, you know, the rigidity of his belief system.
Where's he from originally?
He's from New York City. He's from New York City. And yeah, his dad was a police officer. And he, I think, was raised in a mostly white school. He went to Harlem to play basketball. I don't know if you've read any of his writing.
Yes, actually, I have. He had an article recently in, was it The Guardian? Yeah, he's a pretty accomplished writer.
Yeah, and I think he wrote a mystery novel, too. I believe he wrote a novel. But yeah, his writing is so good. I mean, what a fucking guy. This, what a true Renaissance man. You know?
Yeah, he always seemed, he seemed unusually humble and soft-spoken.
Yeah.
For an athlete, he was never cocky or, he never put himself out there. I mean, you could tell he was competitive, like you say.
Yeah.
But I don't know that much about him. I just have a little sort of faint recollection of him. He just seemed classy, humble, competitive, just kind of doing the job, but then you could tell he had other interests off of the court.
Yeah.
It wasn't all about basketball.
Yeah, no, it was really interesting. You know, just very, I mean, not a perfect person. I mean, I think he was standoffish and aloof and, oh, but he told a story, or there's a story in the documentary of he was, Wilt Chamberlain started mentoring him when he was like 14 or 15, like Wilt Chamberlain kind of showed up and they were standing in an elevator and someone said, "Hey, how's the weather up there?" And Wilt Chamberlain said, "It's raining," and then spit on the guy. But I mean,
what was Kareem's career? Maybe 65 to maybe 85.
Yeah, like he played 20 years of pro ball. Yeah, he played for 20 years. So I want to say maybe 72 to 92.
Oh, okay.
I'm not totally sure.
Okay. Didn't he have
whatever 20 years is?
Didn't he have some connection with Minneapolis?
Well, I don't know.
Because the Lakers, weren't the Lakers originally from Minneapolis?
Yeah, but he was drafted by the Milwaukee Bucks. Played in Milwaukee and then went to the Lakers when they were in LA.
Okay.
Which was like his return.
I could swear he has some Minnesota connection.
I mean, doesn't everyone have a Minnesota connection when it comes down to it? Isn't every thoughtful badass somehow all connected? Ta da! There we go. Podcast.
You've been listening to The Dave Good Show.